What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 258, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not a lot. I'm still coming down, I think, from the weekend. Sunday, Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl again.
I forgot about that. I did watch the game. It was a good sports weekend. I watched some of the there was hockey, there was football, there was MMA. It was just like all good stuff. So Chiefs, they look so good. They just like they seem like they're unstoppable.
You know? They played pretty decently, so excited for not this weekend coming up, but next weekend, and maybe we'll get a two in a row.
LBOE is in our live chat. What's up to everybody in the live stream? This is not an LTT beanie. This is a
Neff.
It's like a skateboard, snowboard brand.
Were you a skateboarder?
Did
you
skateboard? I was. Yeah. I was both. I haven't snowboarded in years, but I was like skateboarder. I wakeboarded for a very long time too. So, yeah, but no, more of a. I was a little skate guy. Kosher Tech is in the channel. He's here on time.
Last week I think he was like, "Oh, hey, I'm here, guys," and we're done.
Yeah. Do you think the Chief? Do you think like this? Tom. This is probably Tom Brady's last Super Bowl. We've said that. I think a lot of people have said that a few times. Like, do you think that Tom Brady has a chance? Do you think that Tampa Bay has a chance?
I don't. I think the Chiefs are the the winner. Mostly because while Tom Brady, I think, is probably right now the greatest of all time, right? He gets the GOAT title quite often right now. Yeah. Whether you like him or not, like, you can't deny like how good of a player he is. But I think a lot of that came from the time and experience with the Patriots, and I just don't think that the one season with the Buccaneers is going to be enough insight into how people are going to react on that big of a stage, you know, for him.
That being said,
it's not like Mahomes has been around the Chiefs for a long time, but I think the rest of the team and his interaction with them and just how good he is, I think, is going to be enough to.
Well, and they went there last year. They know what it takes. It's like, that experience obviously helps. I honestly don't know either way. It would be great to see both, because I'm not a football guy, so I think it's going to be great to see either one win. Obviously, if Mahomes or the Chiefs win and Mahomes wins, it's like back to back. Like, that's pretty cool. It doesn't happen a whole lot in football, does it? I think. No. Like, yeah, because what did the Patriots won, like, how many in how many years? I forget.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not a huge like sports statistician by any means, but anyhow.
Yeah, that would be cool. And then on the other hand, you have Brady. It's like, you know, he goes,
he's gonna get sent off with another ring.
Yeah, it's like, you know, because everybody thought, you know, he was gonna go into oblivion going to Tampa Bay, and then they're in the Super Bowl, which is nuts. So So yeah, it's crazy. When is the Super Bowl? Is it next weekend?
Yeah, it's not this upcoming, but it's the one after.
Okay, the next one. Yeah,
the 7th, I believe.
So yeah, that's exciting. But you're excited. Are you gonna have a Super Bowl party?
No.
No, your team's in it. You gotta have a Super Bowl party.
Sorry, I'll be there downstairs by myself.
Corey is in the chat. He said, "How about the GameStop stock? Do you want to talk about that? Because I figured we would talk about it." Because
I was going to ask why you didn't put it on there, but
it's
save it, or you want to talk about it now?
We can talk about it now because it's semi-tech related. So, why don't you explain what's going on? Because I'm not a stock guy. I don't own stocks. I'm not.
Yeah.
Sure. I really don't necessarily understand what's going on. So why don't you explain to everybody what's going on with GameStop? It's all over the news.
It is people, all over the, like, you can't go anywhere without seeing it.
It's kind of like it's kind of like what happened with crypto. Crypto was like, only if, like, you know, when I first started getting into it is because I had graphics cards and mining, and then it started being worth a lot of money and everybody wanted to get in and they're asking you a million questions. It's the same thing now with stocks, with this GameStop thing. So kind of explain what's going on.
First off, we're not a financial podcast. Yes. We are not financial advisors. None of this is financial information or, you know, take this all with a grain of salt. This is just our comments on it. Just up front, I do own or have a position in GameStop stock. So essentially, like, you know, GameStop's stock value has been pretty low for the last couple years, under $10 for quite a while. So there's, and I'm just, this is going to be super basic, and some of it's, half of it's probably going to be wrong. These large institutions, you know, in the financial world, will essentially bet that the stock is going to go down. So they do some work where they borrow a share from a shareholder and sell it to somebody else. And they essentially are allowed to pay for that stock that they bought at the price when that payment is due. So if that stock continues to go down like they think it will, they don't have to pay as much as they bought it for, and they end up making money that way, right? That's just the quick and easy run. Well, they went a little past and overboard and got a little greedy on how much that occurred, so that they're actually like oversold what's actually available. So some folks on a subreddit found this out, figured it out, kind of did their due diligence and looked it up and said, hey, if people buy this and raise the price back up, all these people are going, they will lose money, these financial institutions, because they're greedy, right? So like, there's kind of some of that, like, let's stick it to the manness to it. So The demand for the stock has gone up. And so now the price that those investors would have to pay off those debts, and a lot of those are coming due on Friday, they have to, you know, honor those deals. So the price just continues to go up and up. And so kind of that's where we're at, is this growth in the stock. And, you know, right now, I don't know what it's at. Earlier, it hit a high today of $380 a share. Like, it's insane. There's been a lot of speculation like that this is going to crash. You know, like, some people are, oh, this is bad for the market. I don't think so. This is a very short term blip on the radar that's going to last for a little while, but it's not going to be like some massive.
It's basically a pump and dump scheme.
Nah, you can't say pump and dump, because you're not using insider information. You're not.
True. I understand that, but you're
lying about.
People on Reddit are getting together and buying the stock, pretty much, from what I understand.
Right? I think this is great.
I'm not saying it's illegal. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that that's basically what's going on.
It's a squeeze.
Yeah. So yeah. Last year, Dave from Barstool did the same thing, basically. Mm-hmm. He was just day trading, and he would live stream it, and then everybody would buy it, and then he would sell it. Same thing. Right.
So
that's what's going on here. And I find it funny that the ones that are going up were like again, GameStop's the huge one,
AMC theaters,
AMC theaters.
I think Blackberry. Around here you can rent a whole theater though, like for a couple hundred bucks. I had seen was one of their things they were like promoting right now, and you're like, well, that's actually kind of neat if you wanted to go see a movie. But yeah, like, some of these don't make sense, but they're stocks that, you know, were short sold. And so, you know, we're kind of taken advantage of, not to the extent of the GameStop shares. So it's a little more, you know.
I do find it funny that this practice, again, it's not pump and dump per se, but it's the same type of thing where These big institutions do this all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. And now that all these people on Reddit are doing it,
caught on to it. And
And that now the big institutions are the ones getting screwed over. They're all upset. And it's, you know, it's kind of funny that way.
And they spin it like, oh, well, we don't want like the retail trader, like average Joe. We don't want them to get hurt because they could lose money here. And it's like, no, okay, I get that, but I'm fine here. Like, and anything, I understand what's right. We're going to close down casinos because someone that doesn't know how to play blackjack loses money at the table.
It does. The thing that I worry about is that this collective thing, as far as like, okay, everybody buy this and then we'll all sell it later, which again, mm-hmm. It makes you think that after this, just like with any good thing where you can make money, there's going to be put regulation on it. There's going to be some type of regulation put on this type of buying.
Well, the only reason this really happens is because of the position of those short sellers and them overselling, right? Like, you can't just do this with any other stock. I mean, that you, that's when you get into that pump and dump, right? Like, oh, yeah. Hey, this company's going to do great. And whereas this is like, oh, well, you guys were playing the market and possibly illegally, right? Like there's been speculation that this some of this trading has been done illegally. We're just doing like normal buying of stock, right? You know, not taking, it's not even loopholes that you're taking advantage of, right? Yeah. You're like playing the opposite game of them, and guess what? You're going to win. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just like when you, I mean, like with crypto, like I buy crypto, like when I see there's going to be an uptick, or I know, or I feel like things are going to go down, I'll sell or I'll buy, mm-hmm. you know.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't.
And again, I have like, there's Facebook groups that I'm in for crypto and people give suggestions. You know what I mean? It's like the same thing, but on a bigger scale. And it's kind of funny. So you bought in, and I'm sure mm-hmm. you've made money doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. I've never done the whole stock trading thing. I had looked to get into it actually a few weeks ago, just for future finding, basically like investment more than like trying to make necessarily.
Yeah. I'm not moved all my 401k over to this to, you know, right. Like this is what I've considered just like playing money. I don't go to the casino and gamble. Right. But I can do this and, you know, whatever.
I think that it does bring stocks in a lot of these apps. You can buy partial stocks and mm-hmm. all this stuff. It allows people to, because traditionally before most of these apps, you had to buy a full stock, and a lot of companies, that's a lot of money. And a lot of these brokerage, you'd have to have like a minimum of like $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, whatever.
Right.
I think that now that you're able to do this smaller investing
fractions
and things like this, where it's like, oh, you could make so much money. Like, even though most people won't be like making a ton of money, it gets them more interested, and maybe they'll smartly invest over time with small mm-hmm. deposits and things like that, because it is good. I think that a lot of people don't have anything saved, or they don't have any type of investment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that minimum bar of entry is essentially gone with a lot of these new apps, right? Like mm-hmm. Like you said, you don't have to go to some office and give them a $5,000 check or $5,000 in cash and say, all right, invest this for me, or I think I want to buy this, right? Like, I got $5 extra at the end of the month or whatever. All right, I'm gonna throw it into this app and find some, you know, super cheap stock and maybe buy a couple shares of it. And, you know, when you get in at that level, and if it goes up a couple bucks, you know, double your money pretty easily. And, you know, So, like I said, not any financial advice or anything here.
Yeah, we're not
our observations on the situation. So we'll see where it goes. I'm interested to see, I think there'll be some investigation and regulation that probably comes out of this.
Nothing good lasts, especially in the financial world. We saw that with crypto. And
nothing lasts when the wrong people make the money.
Yeah. When the financial institutions don't make the money, then there's problems. When the common man makes the money, then there's the problem.
Yeah. You've won too many hands at blackjack, right? Like, why don't you go?
Time to leave. We'll escort you out. Yeah. LBOE in the chat says, just curious, what is better for crypto mining with GPUs, larger VRAM or higher clock speeds? I believe it's higher clock speeds. I don't think VRAM has much to do with it, because you're not leveraging that VRAM when it comes to, at least with like NiceHash, which is like the common miner but what most people use, you're not leveraging all of that VRAM anyways. So I would say the higher clock speed. You want a good... You actually don't want to even overclock your card. You actually want to undervolt your card. So you're using less power. It's all about managing your power and your overall speed of your card. That makes sense. So let's jump into our tech stuff. That was just a little, it is kind of cool that it's part of like the tech world, sort of a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, like, because how many of us, like, before Steam was a thing, right? Like, I remember going to GameStop and buying my games and going for midnight releases, right? And standing out in line and going through there and grabbing stuff. So it's funny that it's you know, GameStop, right? A company and a, you know, a business I haven't been into for years, probably, that it's happening to. It could have been anybody. But
yeah, I think it is. That's like the reason, one of the reasons, you know, and a lot of these companies that it's, that they're doing it with are like, not companies that are dying, but they're just like, you wouldn't invest in these stocks normally, per se. You know, it's not like a company that's doing new, it's not like a Tesla or I don't know any other stocks, you know, or anybody. Like Nvidia or like any companies that are putting out products.
Sure.
Know.
Right. Yeah. Cause you're like, okay, CES, right? Some people may think, oh, CES is coming up. I think AMD is going to release something new, right? So I'm going to buy their stock before they say anything. And yeah. I think that it'll be, you know, a good enough product when it comes out that maybe the price goes up and I get it, right? Like, that's what most people probably, you know, typically do with stocks. That's with these, it's not the case. But anyhow.
Yeah. So let's get to reviews. We have two reviews this week, two pretty cool products. Let's start first with the Rocket Vulcan TKL Pro. Now, you reviewed the large, in 2019, you reviewed their Vulcan 120 ammo, which is a full-size keyboard. You liked that. You gave it a 9 out of 10, I believe.
Yeah, I did. You know, and I read through your review and I just, you know, was excited to kind of talk about it with you here to see what your thoughts were, mostly on the use and then the look, because I, for one, like, loved the look of this keyboard and the lighting. I'll let you go through yours and we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah, well, I have it, so I'll bring, I don't know how well this is going to look, but this is the keyboard right here. It's 10 keyless, so basically you cut off, or this side, you cut off the number pad right there, and it's 10 keyless keyboard. The cool thing about the keyboard, if hard to see, I'm doing this, but you can see the keycaps are actually low profile keycaps. Now, typically you see low profile keycaps on keyboards that have low profile switches, but these are full size switches, as you can see. Under these, I can pull one off. You have a switch. These are their new optical switches. So there's a Vulcan TKL and a Vulcan TKL Pro. The Pro version, which is this one, this has their new optical switches. Just the regular Vulcan mechanical switches. This is basically a mechanical switch, except for the actuation of the actual command you're pressing it is done by optical rather than mechanical. Basically, it's more accurate because there's more or less like a laser. And when you press it down, it goes in the middle of that path of that laser, and it actuates that, you know, that key press rather than a mechanical, what would you call it? A stem going down and actuating the mechanical switch, per se, if that makes sense. So that's this keyboard. I'll bring us back to normal here. And, you know, I really like this keyboard for a lot of reasons. One, it looks awesome. Let me go to our photos here. I mean, it's just a good good looking keyboard. It has a aluminum top plate, which looks really cool. They did change the color. So in the one that you reviewed, it was gray or silver. Yep. They made it all black, grayish,
brushed look. Yeah.
So they made it all black, which I kind of like better. The silver it looks out of place sometimes. I don't know. I like the black. So you have that. It does have a little volume wheel or volume knob with a mute button. Those are the only extra buttons that you get on this, which is fine for me. I don't really need much of anything else. Now, all of these keycaps, again, are low profile. They're concave, which means they have like a little, it's kind of hard to see. I don't know if you could
dip to it.
Yeah, they have like a little dip in them. And they're ABS, which is normal on gaming keyboards. Most gaming keyboards will have ABS keycaps. The problem with ABS keycaps is that you're going to get like the oils from your skin on them. They wear more easily than, say, like a double shot PBT. But most non-enthusiast keyboards like almost all gaming keyboards will have ABS keycaps. We've only seen in the past like year a few companies put PBT keycaps, but it's on their highest end model, like the Corsair K100 hat. That's like their highest end model. That's $200. That has PBT keycaps. I think I forget another one I reviewed that had PBT keycaps, but there's only a few. But you have a centrally located type C connection. One, I like it because it's type C. Two, it's removable. So you don't have this cable connected to your keyboard all the time. If you're going to LAN parties or you're just traveling, you don't have that there. The one thing about the keycaps, though, it's interesting is that they're completely almost flat.
They don't have that like curve that a lot of keyboards do.
Yeah, so that's a little different. Now, I use this keyboard for a decent bit, and it's very comfortable. The keys are the switches, the optical switches are fashioned after a Cherry MX Red. So they're very responsive. They're a linear switch. They feel good. I can type on this thing super, super fast, like incredibly fast. I can type on it. Gaming's fine too. It takes a little bit to get used to the keycaps. They're just a little different.
I found myself like hitting the edge of the keycaps almost, not almost going underneath them because it's like a full height switch with a low profile cap on it. So like if you're moving your finger from like, you know, F to T or R, it's like you're kind of underneath it. And when you move your finger up, mine, I remember I would hit every now and then, or it'd just feel weird. I got past it, you know, once I got used to the feel of the keyboard, but.
Yeah, like I said, it is a little different. You do get used to it. It is very comfortable. Now, the thing that I noticed in mine, which my microphone won't pick it up, but when I was typing on this without like headphones on or without listening to music, there is an audible echo from pressing the keys down. You have that with some keyboards. It's if you don't have headphones on, it can get annoying. Like if you're not listening to music, have you ever had that with a keyboard where you're typing and there's an audible echo throughout the chassis? Happens on a lot of
keyboards. I don't know about an echo, but I've heard like a springiness to
it. It's like a spring echo kind of deal. Yeah, it happens on some keyboards. I've had an experience. Again, if you have headphones on, you're not going to hear it, but I'm not a fan of that with this keyboard. The second thing I didn't like, and I haven't reviewed a Rocket product in a long time, but the Swarm software is the same. It's for this past 6 years, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's all right.
It's
a little dated.
When it first came out, it was really awesome. It was like the best software when it first came out, and this was a very long time ago. It's dated, and then for some odd reason, like so all Rocket products have an Easy Shift Plus, which basically means you hold down a button and it basically all of your keys get a second
function.
A second function. But for some reason, only half of this keyboard can get an Easy Shift Plus function. I don't know why. It's weird. LBOE says, do you mean when a keyboard rings? Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
He's just saying like his current one had it. He used a desk pad to fix it, but I think you use a
I have a full big mouse mat here. So there are ways they say that you can fix it, but out of the box
rings and like lubing the switches and all that.
Yeah, like lubing the switches and that type of stuff. But like, look, if you talking about this Easy Shift Plus, like I have the R key selected and I can see how I can put an Easy Shift Plus function, but if I select the O key, I don't have an Easy Shift Plus function, which that's is weird. It's like cut like right here. This half of the keyboard you can have Easy Shift Plus, the other half you can't. I don't know why that is. But yeah, the software is just dated for me. It works. It allows you to create macros. Like you can easily create macros. It's not a problem. You can change all of your lighting. Again, no problem. It just seems dated. Now the lighting on this keyboard is amazing.
It looks good. I think it looks awesome.
Because the low profile keycaps expose more of the actual switch, you have some the best lighting that I've seen on a keyboard. I mean, it's just, you can just see more. It's really cool. Here again, it looks like you can actually see the switches, which you don't typically get to see. It's more of like a floating keycap design. Looks awesome.
But it's not too bright either, is what I found with, you know, it's, and the colors that they use, like through there, it just seems like a different color or shade of some of these colors that they use. A lot of times when you see a red on a keyboard or a green, like they're just a weird generic red green color. That's one thing that I always noticed with that Rocket, like no matter what color I had on there, it just looked better. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, it's one of the better RGB lighting, you know, that I've seen on a keyboard. It's just that good. But overall, like I said, the software, the fact that I can't easy shift plus half the keyboard, which doesn't make any sense. That's weird. That little ringing from the key, you know, that's a little different. So I only gave it an 8 out of 10. It's still a really good keyboard. You're really, especially if you're like, this is an excellent typing keyboard. Like I wrote this entire review on it and it, I was just flying through this because it just, it's a very fast and responsive keyboard. Gaming, I played Apex Legends with it. It was a lot of fun. It's just for me, like I'm an enthusiast keyboard person now. And I need to have PBT keycaps. Yeah, it would be kind of cool to see low profile double shot PBT keycaps if they even make
that. Are those like those use the little clips kind of and go like down into the switch? Or no, they were the circular switches, right? How do the keycaps attach again?
Oh, they're just they're normal stem.
They're standard. Okay.
Yeah, they're a standard stem, but they're a longer stem because they have to go further down, if that makes sense. But yeah, and like I said, it's a good keyboard. The TKL Pro is $139.99. I think the normal TKL is like $119 or something like that. I think it's worth it. Like I said, optical switches, there's a few companies that offer them. They're more accurate and you don't get the debounce that you would get from a normal mechanical switch. So something to think about. Really cool. I really hope that over this next year, I always say this with software, like I hope we get an update for their software. I hope they just redo it. Because that Swarm software literally has been the same for a very long time. I know that's like a big, and maybe that's the reason too, why maybe they can't easy shift plus the other half is because the software that's designed for whatever controller that's in this keyboard can only do so many things. Like you don't know. But yeah, I really would hope they would update that. And yeah, they only offer two switch options too, so it would have been nice to get like a clicky switch or some other type of switches, like a silent switch too. I like my that's what I'm using right now, my clicky switch. So yeah, check out the review. It is on the site. And then secondly, I took a look at a memory kit that I initially reviewed. When was this? 2018, I first took a look. And they sent me a new kit. And what's kind of interesting is I know for a fact that they changed the ICs from the initial one to this one. Like you can tell from the performance. I'll just say that. So these are the Patriot Viper RGB. We initially took a look at a 16 gigabyte kit that was 3200 megahertz and it was in the white version. This new kit that we took a look at is a 32 gigabyte kit, 3600 megahertz, and they're black. So the memory itself is black. Pretty simple design on these. They're not super flashy. As you can see, the heat spreader is just black with like their Viper logo in the center. The real show is that at the top you have these white diffusers with the Viper logo here, and of course your RGB lighting will shine through these.
It does have the cutouts on the eyes though, doesn't it?
It does have the Viper logo on the side.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so these are little cutouts, and when we get to the lighting section, I think it's on this page, you can see that will actually light up with RGB lighting. There's 8 RGB LEDs, I think, or 5. I think 5 or 8. How many? 1. I think there's 5. But it's some of the brightest RGB lighting that I've seen on memory. Like, these will like light up the whole section by your memory and your CPU cooler. You can even see it like illuminating the fan here. Like, it's very, very bright. But again, you can turn it down with their software. It includes, they have their own software, which is pretty basic and simple. You can control, see, these are all the individual colors.
Lighting zones, yeah.
Yeah, and you can set everything up yourself very easily with their own software. But these are also compatible with every major motherboard software. So Asus, Gigabyte, MSI, and ASRock. It will work with their RGB software as well. So if you want to set it up to, you know, go with the effects on your motherboard, you can go ahead and do that as well. Super, super bright. Now, the reason I say they have different ICs is because when we initially reviewed these back in 2018, we were really not able to even overclock them above 3200 megahertz, which is kind of surprising. These, they're already at 3600 megahertz. I was able to run them at up to 4000 megahertz, not touching the voltage, not touching the timings, just up the multiplier to 4000 megahertz.
Off the are they advertising these to be essentially the same kit as previous? I mean, because it wouldn't surprise me, like, you know, in that time period, yeah, you know, they've made improvements or whatever. But yeah, it kind of stinks to see like the ability to overclock with this kit as opposed to the previous one.
I think that maybe the more expensive ICs got cheaper over time.
Could maybe. Be, yeah.
Or they just decided to do it differently. But in any case, this is a good kit. The 32 gigabyte kit that I reviewed is $174.99. And like I said, it's good RGB memory. It's not the craziest, but they offered in kits, I forget, up to 4133 megahertz, which should be pretty good for most people. Up to 68 gigs to 32 gigs. So no 64 gig kit, which is a little disappointing. But yeah, that's pretty awesome memory. Looks good. And again, it works with all RGB software. So yeah, check out that review as well. And I made a video this week. So this is like a while ago. I started getting into keyboards and becoming a keyboard nerd, sort of. And all these keyboard reviews that I saw online, everybody had these really cool coiled cables. And I was like, I want one of those. And then I was like, okay, I'll go to all these, there's a lot of like little shops that make these coiled cables. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, to get your own custom cable made, it's like $100. I'm like, that's a lot of money for a
USB. A lot of money for a USB cable.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to get one anyways. And I'm like, you have to like pick the color exactly, like from all the stuff you have to pick. Like, it's very confusing. And you have to do like, you basically have to put in all these codes. It's like you're coding, like, this is how long I want this section. And it's very confusing. And I don't think there's any company that has made like a way to order these, like make your own custom cable that's not confusing. That doesn't like, you basically make like a row of text. Like, it's so hard to explain. I wish I could bring it up, but like,
so it's almost like a CSV file where you're like, a number, comma, color, then comma, you know, some
character. Yeah, and you have to put everything in like
into a certain format.
Yeah, it's very, very confusing. And then on top of that, say I even order this cable, I managed to go through all these crazy instructions to order the cable. It's like 6-8 weeks, 2 months, 3 months to get it. That's a long time for something I might lose interest in, like, you know. So I was for a while I was just like on Amazon, I was like, somebody has to like just like a cheap, I don't care about like, I just want a single color coiled cable. And there wasn't one on Amazon for a very long time, and I'd check back every once in a while. Like every time I ordered something on Amazon, I would just like type in coiled cable. And then I follow the mechanical keyboard subreddit bot on Twitter, and this company called Aseni launched a coiled USB cable on Amazon, and they were only $25. And I was like, And when I bought them, it was Black Friday and they were having them for, I think, like $17 or something.
You bought them
that
long ago?
Yeah. That's how long.
You had them
that
long?
Yeah.
I thought you just bought them. Okay.
No, I bought them. I'm sure if I actually bring up the Amazon.
What was the brand again?
Senny. Asceny. Let's see. It'll tell me the date that I bought them.
They make a 60% keyboard too.
Yeah, they do. Let's see. Here.
That's cheap.
I'll bring it up the proof. Last purchase, October 14th, 2020. That's when I bought them.
Okay. All right.
That's how long they've been
sitting here. It's not that I didn't believe you. I thought you had just bought them.
Yeah. So these were $25. They're on Amazon. Basically, what these are is a USB cable that has a 6-inch coil in it. And it's basically meant to just look cool on your desk, right? They're just cool little cables. They are pretty high quality. Like, these are much higher quality than most cables that come, say, like with your keyboard, per se. So they look really cool. And I went ahead and I made a video on these cables because I think, one, they're a really good deal at $25, considering most cables, even ones that are pre-made like this, sell for like $40 to $50. And the fact that you can buy them on Amazon. That's,
look at this guy with this cool hat.
I know. But check out the video. It's on YouTube. But yeah, so you can buy these on Amazon, which means you'll get them in a couple days, right? Yep. I bought three. I bought the blue, the white, and the black. They also have a pink one. But yeah, they're pretty cool. The only issue that I did run into is that my Ducky 1-2 Mini does not work with this cable.
I saw that. That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like the USB sound would come up, and then sometimes it'll be like, oh, we can't install the driver for this, or it's kind of odd.
Yeah, so real quick, everybody who's in the live stream or watching the video. So here's like what my setup would look like before. You can see the normal cable here, and then it will go to what it looks like after,
it does look cooler.
Yeah, it does look cooler. So that's the whole reason I got it. I just think it looks cool. It looks different. It's like somebody comes over your setup, they're like, oh, what's that cool looking cable? You know, because
it's like those old ones on an IBM, like M. Yeah. I think it was the keyboard, right? The Model M with the rubbery coiled thing that'd be like at the public library on the desks. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah. So I thought they were really cool. But yeah, there is an issue, at least with the Ducky 1-2 Mini. And I went on the reviews. And if you go to the reviews on like their Amazon page, it does say people have said that they have issues with Ducky keyboards. So that's something to keep in mind. But it works with, like, I'm using my IQNX F96. It works no problem. So check out the video if you're interested. Like I said, they're $25 on Amazon, four different colors. You can't complain about $25, considering, again, when you look around, like, most of these cables are like $50-$60. Custom ones, like, if you pick your own color and you can do different connectors and all that stuff, like, you're getting into $100 range. And you can even go way above that as well. So yeah, check out that video. And then that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And we have another build from the High Resolution Computer Shop. These guys do awesome. Like, these are all customer builds. And they just, I would love to be like a customer. and just be like, oh yeah, I just built this, do all the hard work for me. This is done in their Core P3. And High Resolution's Computer Shop was one of the first people to do this sort of, it's kind of hard to explain. Let me see if I can find one of the photos that actually shows the... they put plexiglass on the sides to kind of make it look like it's kind of covered over. It's a little... Like I said, it's... If you look at this picture, you can kind of see the plexiglass right here. Yep. And it's just like... They're one of the first people that did that as like a mod to it, which makes it just look a little bit different than the normal Core P3. Obviously, this is a water cooling build. They put a custom distro plate right here, which is kind of cool. And then you have the res. This is sort of like a white and gold theme. Looks pretty good.
I like the choice to use clear fluid. I think it's pretty sweet.
Not a lot of people do that, which is weird. For some reason our pictures aren't loading, so I guess we'll just go through these ones. But yeah, it's just a really nice build. Core P3 is like, I feel the Core P3, Core P5 builds, you have to kind of pick and choose what you do because everything is visible. Nothing's yeah. really hidden. So you have to pick and choose what hardware you're using and how you route your cables and how even you route your tubing, because everything is visible, nothing's really hidden. So I like it. I think these are Corsair fans. Yeah, these are Corsair.
If you got a page three, can you get a page three?
For some reason, yeah. Oh wait, page two is loading. Page three is not.
I think there's only one. Oh, that's weird. There's like the last image.
This one?
On page three. No, there's only one image on the page. But it's a shot of the GPU vertical, and it almost looks like each port of the GPU is illuminated.
Let's try to go to page three.
Oh. There. See, like those on the ports of the DV. See how they almost look illuminated?
Yeah.
Is it in the block, maybe, that's doing that?
I think it's in the block, yeah.
Okay. It almost looks like each one of those ports is glowing. I thought it was kind of a cool touch.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I like it. But yeah, it's just a good build. High Resolutions Computer Shop does a ton of awesome builds. I always want to feature them, but I'm like, people are going to get...
What are you sponsored by them?
Yeah, so here's like that cool acrylic that they've done, and they do it on the top and the sides. It makes it look more like a case. If you're not familiar with the Core P3, basically it's like this vertical kind of case where you mount your hardware in there.
And then it has some bars that hang out.
It has these bars that hang out, and then there's a glass piece that affixes to that. But what they've done is they've put the acrylic around it, and it has this sort of honeycomb shape, which is pretty cool.
The only other thing I would have changed is cleaning up the cables that come out of the power supply. They look nice and clean going into components, but on the bottom, since there's not a shroud.
Yeah, that is true.
They look a little like it's just such a difference between the other sections, but whatever.
Yeah. I like it. It's very cool. It's cool. Let me see if there's the top with that acrylic.
That's nice. I like that color choice on the fans too.
Yeah, very, very cool. So go ahead and check this one out. As I always say, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So go ahead and check that out. And that brings us to news this week. And we have a GPU launch. Another exciting one. It's super exciting.
What?
Another? So we've been talking about this for a year and a half? 2 years?
Yeah, probably.
Since it was first announced, Intel, we all know that they were entering the discrete graphics card market. And their first GPU is here. What? You can't buy it.
Oh.
Only OEMs can get it, and they're part of pre-built systems. Intel partnered with Asus and PowerColor to release their Iris Xe discrete graphics card for desktops. Here is the PowerColor one, and here is the Asus one.
Sweet,
we got all three connections. We got DVI, DisplayPort, and HDMI.
Okay,
and
some aluminum.
Yeah. So this, as I said, this was always Intel's thing going in. We knew that it wasn't going to be a high-end graphics card, which makes sense for business, in that business is going to outsell gaming. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. So this has 640 shading units, or 80 execution units, 640 shading units. 4 gigabytes of LPDDR4X across 128-bit interface. Basically, these are just for like OEM systems, not even gaming systems. Like they're just for like normal tower, like just what would you like a Dell something, right?
Yeah, some sort of Dell, maybe. Used to think of it XPS as like their gaming, but I think they've moved that all to pretty much Alienware. their gaming brand. But like an XPS that maybe has more connections, video connections.
I didn't even think it would be like an XPS brand. It would be like a Dell Think, or I don't even know what they're called. Like just like a business
Inspiron,
like a business class thing Optiflex. Where they just something like that. Decision. Tony in the chat, he says the Power Color one won't work with AMD. Yeah, so the interesting thing about these is that these graphics cards need to be paired with 9th gen Coffee Lake S, 10th gen Comet Lake S, and B460, H410, B365, and H310C chipset motherboards that are part of pre-built systems. So they're not even going to work with high-end chipsets, which again makes sense because these are business focus per se. The motherboards that will support these, they require a special BIOS that needs to be flashed that will support the cards. So it's not like you can even buy one of these and throw it in a, even a Z490 or something like that, which you wouldn't want to anyways, because they're not
powerful. I mean, and I don't know, they may be taking advantage of kind of like Apple did with their new M1 systems, right? If you're designing the CPU, the chipset, and the GPU, you can take advantage of, controlling that ecosystem, just like AMD as well, right? With the new 5000 series and 6000 series GPUs working together. So,
yeah. So for everybody who was super excited, remember those cool renders we saw
of their GPUs? You know what? Those could still be legit further down the road.
I think that the thing that people don't realize is when you're building a GPU from the ground up, you have to get it out there and test it.
It's already proven.
And again, the biggest thing, we've seen this with AMD, especially in the past, is the big thing is drivers. Like, you have to get these things out there and get everyday people using them, because as many, you can throw anything you want at these, like in the lab, but until they're get in the hands of real people, you're not going to get the errors and issues. And again, they're going to iron all that stuff out probably over this entire year. I don't see us seeing a gaming class card till at least the end of the year. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. If not later, like CES 2022, just based on, that's just what I think, but yeah, they're there. I like the look of the Asus one. I'm not a fan of this. Looks like really? An old.
I think the Power Color looks fine.
It's just, it looks so old.
I mean, it looks like a cheap GPU, a low price GPU.
It looks like one you buy off wish.com.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, you're right.
This looks like a business class GPU right here.
Well, and we've seen some like passively cooled cards from Asus before, right? Some of those random, what was that other GPU that just launched? We talked about it last week, like the 1310 or something.
Yeah, the G10, the G
310, whatever it was, just has that super generic look to it.
Yeah.
It's the new NVIDIA graphics card. What model? No, that's what it's called. It's just the graphics card. So
that is the Iris Xe discrete graphics card. Now, we're not really going to cover it much beyond that, because one, we're not going to get one to test. I'm sure some people will get them.
Somebody will get a hold of them,
but it's not like it's anything comparable to even a mid-range graphics card, like a 2060, a 3060, or even like a 10 series from NVIDIA. Like, it's not comparable, so it's not worth us spending a lot of time on. Now, when they release which I assume their next card, I don't think it's going to be super high end. I think it will be in that 3060 range. When one of those come out, we'll get one and we'll definitely test it. So, talking about GPUs on the AMD side, then this is really interesting, because if this makes its way down to gaming segment, we'll have a dual GPU, which would be pretty cool. Information or rumors on the AMD Navi 31 GPU came out. It's going to be AMD's first multi-chip module design for GPU. Which is exciting, because we haven't seen something I don't even think, would you consider the dual GPUs, they're not really would that even be considered a multi-chip module? Because it was two separate chips that were connected by a PLX chip.
Right. This... Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not like the most technical savvy when it comes to that. I mean, I guess that was technically a multi-chip module because you have two chips connected by
a bus, PL... you know.
Yeah. The PLX. Like, anyways.
I don't know.
This is AMD's first multi-chip module design for GPU, and it's going to be the successor of the Radeon M100, which again is like a supercomputer type chip. Now, if this comes down to the gaming market, that would be pretty cool. AMD was always big on the dual GPU,
single card, dual.
Yeah, because previously, like their 90. That was on the NVIDIA side, like the 5.9, yeah. But they were pretty big on the dual GPU thing. But if they could put it where it's not, again, I'm thinking like a chip that's enclosed as one package, not two.
Yeah, we're used to seeing two chips on a board, and you know, individual cooling for each one. I would think of this almost similar to like Ryzen.
Yeah. So this is all via Twitter. So again, take this with a grain of salt, but it says Navi 31 ADCU chiplet, and the top SKU has two of them. So you would have, again, like that's a pretty cool thing to think about. This is decently far off, but that makes it pretty exciting. Again, these MCMs that we've seen more and more of, if that makes its way down to like gaming class GPUs, you could see a lot more, you know, because again, that's what AMD has done with CPUs, is they're a chiplet design. They're not just a single CPU, which is pretty cool. So that's exciting. It's, again, it's so like we hear this stuff just like the Intel Xe. We're like super excited, and then it's like you don't see it for
years later.
Yeah. So yeah, that is coming down the line. Talking about things that have been out for a while that are still going to be coming out, it looks like. It looks like because of the GPU shortage, which we seem to be talking about every week on this show, it looks like NVIDIA will be reintroducing their RTX 2060 and 2060 Super GPUs, probably because these are the most sold GPUs out there. And it probably just because of shortage and people want cards, and I don't know the price of these now.
So do we think they've got stock laying around, or they're going to produce some more?
I think that NVIDIA themselves might have the GPUs laying around, right, and they've gone out to their partners and be like, we're ready to send you these to remake, like to make new cards. Yeah, this has already started supplying the stock to board partner. Because again, you can't get anything. And if these are,
what about those prices look like?
It says prices €300 for the 2060, €400 for the 2060 Super. So that's so the same.
That converts to
very similar to the 3060 Ti, which is €400.
See, I feel bad for like, why would you buy one?
I mean, but the thing is like, so say you got to buy a PC, kids are starting school, right? Schools are opening, you have to buy a PC for the kids, or you have to build one, or you want to build one for your kids, or you're a teenager and you want to build your own PC, and parents say, okay, we're going to do it. Like, this is, you know, you can't be like, I got to wait for my GPU. Like, you know, so yeah, this might be, I mean, it's like a stopgap, basically, I would say. I think that has to be what it is, because there's not enough 30 series GPUs out there.
No.
So this is a stopgap, which makes sense. It just sucks that this is the way that it has to be, because you would rather have more stock of anything in the 30 series than them making more 20 series cards to fill that emptiness of no cards.
Yeah, it's just feels bad.
Yeah, so that's what's going on in the GPU world. This past week, we saw two pretty cool mods, I would say. They're mods or hacks, which we don't see enough of these days, I would say. We don't see enough of these type of things going on. So first is really cool. And this is sort of, I guess it's a hack. This is typically done with like a Thunderbolt connection. But this is pretty cool. So this company called Cosyn, which is basically the Chinese sister company of Lenovo, they modified their laptop, which features a Ryzen 5 4600U. They modified the laptop to run a 3090 via the M.2 slot of the laptop.
That's pretty cool.
They were able to do this using, they took out the internal M.2 NVMe SSD, and they got an M.2 to PCIe expansion cable, and then they powered the graphics card by power supply. That's pretty cool. I think that, I don't know in these new, I think the M.2 slots are Gen 4.
Not cool what it,
this external graphics card thing started with Express Slot, if you guys are old enough to remember Express Slot. And that's when we first started seeing external GPU enclosures, and then Thunderbolt 3 came along. They all went to that. But this
does this even make sense, like compared to Thunderbolt?
This speeds is 4 gigabytes a second. Thunderbolt's, I don't know what the theoretical speed of Thunderbolt is.
Faster than this.
Yeah. But again, I don't think this little laptop, which is their, it's called their Ziosyn
Air 14. Yeah.
Doesn't have Thunderbolt. You know what I mean? I think it's just.
No, that's just, that's what, yeah. It's, they could do it, right.
It's just a cool little hack. You can see the cable going to the M.2 thing over here. It's cool. You can check out the video. We have it linked. That's a cool little hack that you can just do. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, I don't know that you can just do you, it. Like,
I mean, you could.
They probably don't sell a kit.
No, they don't sell a kit, but you can buy an M.2.
You can buy these parts, right?
Yeah. But yeah, then you would have to hotwire your power supply to turn on to power the graphics card.
Just paperclip, that's fine.
And then you'd have to worry about drivers somehow, because the driver, I don't know. But yeah, that's one of the cool little mods or hacks this past week. The second one's really, we couldn't do this. A YouTuber called VIK, he modified his 2070 to support 16 gigabytes of VRAM. The original card has 8 gigabytes of VRAM. He went out and bought Samsung 16 gigabyte module, which you can see here, and he took the old ones off and soldered these on. That's some dedication.
Yeah, because those are surface mount, like, I'm pretty sure. Like, how do you get everything to line up perfectly? Like, this doesn't look like a precision lab. He's got some tweezers there, right? Like, that's all surface mounted memory. So you have to line everything up perfectly. Your solder has to, like, not run between contact points there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Pretty cool though.
I'm not doing it on my 2070. Let's just
Ryan, you have a 2070. Why don't you just
I just do this?
I'll get the memory sent to you and you just give it a little try. Yep. You have to also It says that you says you have to change the resistors into a different binary code. But it says the 2070 BIOS supports 16 gigabytes of VRAM. They said that GPU Z recognized the card. It also worked with FurMark, which means it survived like a test. But it said the card isn't that stable. It did run 3D Mark and TimeSpy. Yeah, it altered the score. The score was like, 3,000 points lower. So I don't think it's...
I wonder if those ships are like comparable to what he pulled off. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty cool though. We don't see enough of this anymore. Just like cool, like, you know, mods that aren't like a case mod. We don't see as much like hardware
mods. There's no like pencil lead on Intel chips to get them to overclock, you know, and all that kind of craziness. Yeah, and then
flashing your what was the AMD card you could flash to like the next one up?
Was it like the 9700 series maybe?
Yeah, like you could flash like
9500 to a 97 or a 96 to a 97 maybe.
Yeah, you just flash it and it's like, oh, it's a more better performing card now, because they didn't what do they do now? They actually like crush the
Physically disabled.
They physically disable the extra
so it could have been a better card. They just are like, nope, we have to make this model and sell it like this.
Previously, they would just like software disable the extra cores or on a GPU. So you would have like so many SKUs with so many disabled just via software. And then people would be like, I'm just going to put the other BIOS on this card. And now those are available to me. So now what they do is they actually physically disable the extra cores per se. They, you know, I don't know what they do to disable them. I think they just break them. So people don't do that anymore, because everybody would just be buying lower end cards and then flashing their BIOS to a higher end car, which did happen with whatever that AMD series was. So some pretty cool mods this week. Some information on Intel, which is scary, because we do have Z590 boards that were just announced. Intel's going to release their 12th gen Alder Lake S CPUs and 600 series motherboards in September. Z590 boards are here. They've been announced. The 11th gen, the next processors are going to be coming out soon too. Then we have these new ones coming in September, which are supposed to be 10 nanometer, which makes you wonder, So Alder Lake S was found in Sandra's database recently. Intel did this when they did the was it the 8700K? Is that it? It was like 6 or 8 months later.
Like super short, right? Like, why are we even getting this?
It was 6 months. You went from quad core to six core. And it was like those extra two cores like just crushed the previous. And it was like, would it be like
why,
the people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I know where they're pushing it out, especially at that time frame. That's right before holiday season. Mm-hmm. It's when a lot of people buy or upgrade their PC or build new PCs. Like, it makes sense. But it's like these new parts that are coming out now are going to be coming out. It makes it a hard sell. But again, March to September is a long time, but
it is.
In the thick of things, if this performance is what we think it's going to be, that's going to be a killer, I would say. But we shall see. So moving over to Thermaltake, part of their CES thing, they announced a gaming desk, a very expensive gaming desk, but one that has an interesting feature. So this is their Tough Desk 500L RGB. Now, most of these gaming desks we've seen, they're just like a normal gaming desk. This one's an L, which I think is pretty cool. I don't think we've seen an L-shaped gaming desk for one. This is fully motorized, which is nice. I have a motorized sit-stand desk. It's very big. But the cool thing about it is this top section right here on this side is basically like a full mouse mat, or, you know, full desk pad with RGB lighting, of course. But that's pretty cool, I think. We haven't really seen that. It gives you a massive desk mount. It makes it so you don't have to buy a mouse pad ever again. The only thing I wonder about that is, like, my desk mats, they get really dirty and you can't really clean them.
Yeah, they get, you know, they show wear, right? Like, yeah. And you can kind of clean them. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, oh, man, you're going to get stuff on this or it's going to
just... Wonder if you can take it off.
Take it off, yeah.
And get, like, replacement ones. That's kind of uncertain. But yeah, it's fully motorized, L-shaped desk. It is expensive.
What I don't get here is, all right, so it's got the RGB on it, right? Around the edges of the bigger mat. It's like they just tacked on this other L piece because the RGB goes in between them.
Well, the RGB is part of it. Like, basically, they made a big mouse pad that fits this with RGB.
I know, but...
Yeah, I get
it
what
just
you're
looks
saying.
Weird. It just looks weird that the
little L. I think they should have incorporated the RGB into the entire desk.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's $1,500.
Nope.
Yeah. But yeah, it's different. I thought it was a little different because of the whole big mouse mat thing. So
yeah, no, that is cool.
So yeah, you guys can check that out if you're interested in that. And the last thing, which I think will sell. Like most things made by Apple will sell. It looks like Apple is going to be making a VR headset.
What?
Yeah. New sources from Bloomberg, which is pretty, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this too. Now, the interesting thing about this, it's this headset is codenamed N301 currently. It's in late prototype stages. It's going to feature custom Apple chip, more powerful than the M1. So the M1 powers their MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
So this is going to have a chip that's more powerful than that.
Sticking that on your head. All right.
Now it says VR and limited AR abilities. The first one's going to be AR. The next one is going to be VR. Now I can see the VR... Especially like if you make something that's optimized for this, that you could put this in the or something that could work with your iPhone, it would sell. And if you could sell it as a bundle with an iPhone, it would definitely sell.
Yeah.
Now the thing that's interesting about the VR aspect more than the AR aspect, because as a consumer application, what are you really using AR for?
I mean, there's some apps like, and they're showing one there like, oh, what is my, I assume like, what would this different table look like in my living room, right? Like IKEA's app, you know, they have.
Yeah, but you can do that with your phone.
Right, you can do that right now. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, does it just feel more immersive, I guess? Or you take a scan of your room with the iPad or iPhone and then import it to the.
Some like learning applications. For kids, for AR, sort of, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, now the VR one, Apple is not necessarily a gaming brand. So like the VR gaming aspect of it, but maybe that's something they want to get into. But I could see the VR headset, if it's priced decently, could, you know, because like what, there's Oculus and then there's the, what's the other one?
Vive.
Yeah, the Vive. You have the Vive, right?
Yeah, I have the HTC Vive. I mean, and then there's the Valve Index.
Yeah, there's the Valve Index now. So Apple's a big player. Obviously, if they're using their own hardware, that's a plus for them. They have an ecosystem of available games that work on the iPhone and iPad. If they can incorporate VR into that ecosystem, I think it will do well on like the non-hardcore VR games, like the more fun VR games for kids and for family, I think it would do well. I don't know much more than that. They said it's supposed to launch in 2022, so next year. AR glasses will be sold in 2023. So
okay,
maybe Apple's doing like a, what was the Google thingy?
A Google Glass?
Yeah, the glass, maybe they're doing something like that.
Who was I saw Jeff Craft Computing like on Twitter today, I think, had some post where he had on a Google Glass.
Yeah. It's
cracking me up.
Yeah, so Like I said, I think the VR will do well. The AR is kind of like a thing, but again, Google Glass, like for a lot of people, like Google Glass was cool at the time when it came. Yeah. So if Apple could do something that, and again, Apple can design something that's like made for real people to wear, not just tech people. You know what I mean?
I still think it could have been cool, right? Like, it's so dorky looking though, the little Boba Fett thing sitting in front of your eye, but like, just how cool would that be to have just the something augmented in front of you, like you're walking directions, you're in a new town and you're walking and you're like, oh, I want to go to this place, but I want to put my phone down and be able to see around me and enjoy the sights and sounds, right? But then have an overlay of like, well, here's the path you need to take to get where you wanted to go.
Yeah. So that's something to look forward to. We'll definitely hear more about it probably over this coming year. And that brings us to what we have coming up next week, two reviews, two different products. So I'll be taking a look at the Corsair Qatar Pro Wireless. They call it a gaming mouse. I'd say it's more of like a traveling gaming mouse because it's small, it's wireless. There's only a couple buttons. It's not really designed. It's almost ambidextrous per se. Like it's not designed.
It doesn't have the curve that you get on some of the...
It doesn't have the curve. It doesn't have... There's no real... Like, it's not, per se, a gaming mouse. It's more or less like a traveling gaming mouse. What's nice about it is that it does come with a dongle, which is their Slipstream wireless technology, which is like 1 millisecond. So if you did want a game, like, you're not going to lose anything with that. Secondly, it is Bluetooth as well. So if you are traveling, you can just hook it up to your laptop. You don't even have to worry about the dongle. It is battery powered. That's why I say it's more of a traveling mouse. I think it's going to be my new when I get. Well, I am actually traveling, which we'll talk about at the end of this podcast. This is going to be my new traveling mouse. It's nice and small. Only thing, it doesn't come with a little traveling pouch, which I kind of like to have. But
yeah, can you store the dongle in it? At least
I don't know if there's a picture. I don't think there's a picture. The dongle gets stored in the mouse itself, so you don't lose it. There's like where the battery
shape is almost not quite like the harpoon, but
yeah, it's very much like the harpoon actually. But yeah, I'll be taking a look at that. So stay tuned for that, and I'll be taking a look at a IoT device or sort of like an IoT device. This is the SpotCam Eva 2. This is their new wireless home security camera. 1080p, you can pan and tilt it and all that kind of cool stuff. And what's kind of cool is that SpotCam was the first smart home device that I ever had. It's before I had like Alexa. It's before I had like any of the other cameras that I have. It's before anything, I had a SpotCam. And the thing that was really cool about SpotCam when I initially got like the first one, like I think, yeah, this is like the first one right here, is that unlike most companies that offer these cameras where you have to pay for storage, SpotCam allows you to have full playback of the past 24 hours. So usually within 24 hours, if you get
robbed. So you have 24 hours of playback on their cloud?
Yeah, on their cloud for free.
Wow.
I don't know if that's with the new ones, but with the old SpotCam that I have.
That's a lot of bandwidth.
Yeah.
Right, you're uploading a lot of video.
Yeah, but it's always available. If something would happen or you usually within a 24-hour period, you can go back and grab it. Where I have the Wyze cams, they only record, you can put a card in it and record. Yep. Obviously, that's not going to the cloud. The ones that do go to the cloud are only 10-second clips. And then there's a cooldown after that 10 seconds, if you didn't know. So this is a new one. I'll be taking a look at that. Hopefully they've updated their app since I initially used it. It got a little dated, as I say, when it comes to this apps. But it's a cool little $50 camera. Check that out next week. And that brings us to the end here. We talk about anything cool or different or you do any tech related stuff.
Talking about those cameras and everything reminded me that I want to buy the Wyze headphones. Like I have a bunch of Wyze cams.
They have headphones.
They came out with so much stuff recently. They have headphones, a thermostat, a lock, a vacuum, a scale.
I was looking at the scale.
What else did that? But what was the other thing? Oh, the Wise Watch.
I did see that.
$20.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Wise Band that I have on is, I think, was $25. That's not. Yeah, yeah, I need to order some of this stuff up.
Yeah, Wise is a really good company. They have a lot of very cheap stuff that's like, mm-hmm, it's stuff that you actually use, which I like. All these companies have all these things that you might not use, but all of their products are like things that are actually useful.
I need to use this.
Yeah, I know.
This is the outdoor one. I need to. I have my idea for it. I just,
you gotta take it out to the secret location. And
that's right.
Yeah, because you can use it without.
Yeah, this talks to a base station. You can put a SD card in here though, a micro SD card, and it'll record locally. But yeah, anyhow.
Yeah, and you gotta get working on your water cooling project.
Yep, my hard tubing. I do. I need to get to it.
Ryan has a if you guys haven't seen it, Ryan did a full water cooling build with AlphaCool products, and we're upgrading that to the Inwin.
Yeah,
we're moving that system to a new case. We're upgrading it with hard tubing, more fans too, right?
Yeah, there'll be more fans. Right now, this system has 6 fans. It'll move to 9 fans. So.
Yeah, that's exciting. In the hard tubing, you'll be bending larger, your tube.
Yep, I'm gonna bend some tubes.
Yeah, so and you'll be making a video for
try not to right? burn myself with the heat gun. Yeah, yeah, that'll be a video.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting. I'm really excited to see that. His first video came out really well. So if you guys haven't checked that out, it is on the YouTube channel. So and then secondly, we have talked about it on this podcast, but I am moving in April. All the way across the country, and I have so much, as you can see behind me, I have a lot of stuff, and I don't want to take it with me. So what I figured out I'm going to do, we're going to be launching it next week. I haven't even told Ryan this. So this is news to him as well. For everybody who's still listening to the podcast, is that next week we're going to be launching a weekly giveaway where I give away whatever hardware that I have. Each week is going to be a different prize. A lot of it's going to be review products, but some of it can be even older. Like I have a bunch of like Z390 motherboards that are just sitting around. So we'll be giving all that stuff away. Every contest is going to run for 1 week, and we'll have a dedicated landing page for this whole thing. So up until I move away, maybe even after I move away, because I have a lot of stuff that I would just rather somebody have than just sit around for sure. So we'll have a dedicated landing page. We'll talk about it next week. It should launch on Tuesday of next week, so day before the podcast. So definitely stay tuned for that. A lot of cool stuff to give away, and I'll try to mix it up every week, something different. You know, if we do a keyboard 1 week, maybe we'll do a motherboard the next week, whatever it is. We'll be doing that. So pretty excited for that. Beyond that, I haven't done much tech related stuff.
Any shows or anything?
Movies you watch? No.
I haven't come across anything. So.
I've been watching different YouTube stuff. I really like, there's this YouTube channel. I should have linked it because I was thinking about putting it in the show notes. It's called, I think it's called Finding Alternatives or something like that. It's about people who like live off the grid and these houses they build in the middle of nowhere. It's really cool if you're into that. And it's like,
I've been watching a lot of that stuff lately. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's called Seeking Alternatives. I forget what it's called, but it's a really cool YouTube channel. I've been watching a lot of that. One of the recent ones that I watched was, there's this couple that they've been sailing on a boat for 10 years. And they just live on a boat, and they go all around the world sailing, and they stop different places. And it's pretty cool. Exploring Alternatives. That's it. And there's a real, a lot of really cool people who they, you know, go into these people who, like this one guy built a cabin up on this mountain. And it's really cool how they, you know, a lot of these people are like what we do, like what I do is they're like freelancers or they're designers, and how they get internet way out there and how they power the place, like whether it's solar or, you know, and they talk about how they built the place, and it's cool to me. It's something different. So. What's it called? Exploring Alternatives?
Exploring Alternatives. And Shinny in the chat was saying he got recommended a guy who bought a ghost town in Colorado and then has been living there. And I saw like his videos. They're really pretty cool. He bought this ghost town.
I did see that. It came up under my like recommended or something a while ago.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. There's some ups and downs to the story in there if you take a look at some of his videos. But it's pretty interesting, pretty cool. I haven't kept up with it, but every now and then I think.
Yeah, I figured you would be interested in that because of your secret little project. So I guess Shinny's in the chat. That means we're going to be getting on to some gaming. So we're going to jump off Facebook and YouTube and jump on over to Twitch. Where's our banner? Oh, here it is. I couldn't find the banner in the thing. Oh. Twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We will be over there playing some Apex Legends. The new season is launching next month, which is really exciting. Which will be really, really exciting. So definitely, so we'll be playing some games. I'm excited to play some. I haven't played game. Well, I did play a little bit of gaming testing this keyboard, but it's different when you play with random.
Yeah, keyboards. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I get to play with Ryan and Shinny, it's a lot of fun. So head on over there. We'll be over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we will see.